Daniel 6 verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save to thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king, 'That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, 'Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed.' Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, 'Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.' And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den and cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?' Then said Daniel unto the king, 'O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt.'" Daniel, in this context, did everything right. He kept the faith and his loyalty to God despite being told to compromise. He was above reproach in all of his work, as we see in his life. Everything that he did, the Lord blessed, and he only chose to do things that the Lord would bless. He was able to do what many others in this government of the Medes and the Persians were unable to do. He was a great servant to the kingdom, despite the fact that he was, for better or worse, a slave to these people. They even say he was a child of the captivity of Judah. At no time did they ever lose that on him, that no matter what good he did, no matter how hard he fought for the government, no matter what he did for the king, he was always nothing more than a slave in their eyes. He did everything right, and yet he was still called to suffer. And I tell you what, we've discussed this so often that sometimes we are called to suffer even though we've done it all right. We too feel like we've been thrown into a den of lions, where we're sitting there and it stinks, and there's these things that are threatening to consume us, and we don't quite know what to do. And I found that this story is unique because we don't get to see this story, this account, from Daniel's perspective. So often when we read the book of Daniel, when we're reading through it, it is from Daniel's perspective, where we get to see what Daniel was thinking in certain areas. But we're in kind of that part where it's narrative. We're seeing it from the king's point of view. And he's looking in and he's seeing this trouble and he's seeing this danger. And Daniel is unflappable. He's not wanting to change from his relationship with God. He's not going to pray to the king. He will pray to his God, even though you told him not to. He stood strong. And he had to go through it. Had to go through this lion's den. And I've often thought about the times in my life where I have felt trapped with something that is threatening to consume me. And that hits and it comes for all of us. Be it sickness or family issues, financial problems, structural issues with this or that, issues within the work. We look at our government, we look at our country, we see issues out there. It's hard to be able to afford things anymore with everything going on. We look at all the problems and all the troubles and all the trials, and it's easy to think, I'm going through a lion's den. Well, when you're in these moments, the book of Daniel here gives us just a little bit of advice for how to survive our lion's dens. What we must understand, point number one, is what is in there won't consume you. What's in there won't consume you. Oh, it might be terrifying. It might be scary. I mean, consider these lions. These were not zoo lions. These were not lions you would encounter out in the wild, and if I just stay away from them. These were lions for the distinct purpose of execution and sport. They were kept hungry. They were underfed, not to the point to where they would lose a lot of muscle and become gangly, because then they would be defeated too easily, and where was the fun in that? But they were kept just hungry enough to still be monsters, but be monsters even more so for the sake of their hunger. So in this particular case, if anybody was thrown down in there, if anything was thrown down in there, they would be ready not just to fight, but to eat. And many times we look at our problems, and when I preach on our issues, sometimes it seems like I try to put them down. And I tell you what, in God's eyes, they're not much. God can answer anything, and God can help in anything. But it does hurt when you're sitting there in the lion's den and you're watching them pace back and forth and you're wondering, will this consume me? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Because God is always there to give us strength. God is always there to give us guidance. And yes, it was a sorry position to be in. And yes, there was probably much physical pain that came along with it. I wish we could see Daniel's perspective in this, but knowing Daniel, I think I know exactly. He wasn't bothered much. Oh, it was uncomfortable to sleep in there. I bet it smelled in there. I mean, it wasn't a very pleasant place to be. Probably a very terrifying place to be. A very uncertain place to be. How long will I be here? Is this where it's over? But Daniel, in the end, could know what? That whether the lions did their work or not, it did not matter. It did not matter. Why? Because as sure as Daniel was breathing, if he closed his eyes in death, he would open them again in heaven. He would open them again free of the lion's den, free of the captivity of these wicked, wicked people, free of the expectations of this world. He would sit in the throne room of God and just be free. Be free. What we must always remember is that we cannot lose our salvation. We just had a sermon last Sunday night about how you can't lose your salvation. No matter what happens here on earth, be it terminal illness, be it wicked things being done to us, whatever it is, that salvation does not go. As many of the martyrs would loudly and gladly proclaim in front of those that would put them to death, is that all you're doing is sending me home. Send me home. They had hope. They had hope. There's many a person in this world, they walk around in life and they've got no hope, no assurance. For them, the sting of death is very real. Because one, they either do not know what lies on the other side of death, or they're afraid of what they think lies on the other side of death for them. They have no hope in these things. I have met people who, not grand theologians, not people for the history books, not people whose names would reverberate on down through all the faith, but common everyday people like you and me, who when they faced their death, faced it with joy and faced it with acceptance and comfort. Why? Because there was no sting in death for them. Because their salvation remained intact. Be it sorrow, sickness, illness, be it robbery, thievery, whatever wickedness comes our way, whatever evil comes our way, we can have hope, because no matter what you do to this, you can never hurt my salvation. Because when I go, you'll set me more free than I could ever be here on this earth. Aren't you glad for a salvation that goes nowhere? Aren't you glad for the promise of an eternity in heaven? Whether those lions do their worst or not, Daniel was coming out of that den. I've used this illustration before. I think of You ever have a lot of pressure on you and you know a name? And it just, the piano player for Legacy 5, and he was the piano player for the Cathedrals. Roger Bennett. I'm going to kick myself all the day long for forgetting. I love Roger Bennett. But he said this. He goes, I'm either going to be healed or I'm going to get what he called the ultimate healing. He's either going to cure this illness or make it to where I could never get sick again. Praise the Lord for that. Right? That is not a man who questions his faith. That is not a statement from a person who's, as he was at that time, looking in the face of death, going, hey, if it happens, it happens, and I'll go to heaven, and I tell you what, I'd much rather be here, but if I'm going to go to heaven, hey, I can't get any more excited about that. I mean, he had something. We have something. We have a promise. And speaking of promises, do you know that while you're going through your lion's den, God's promises stay intact? His promises to you stay intact. Promises like, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now let's carry that down to the Greek. Let's look at the Greek meaning of that. You know what that means? He's never going to leave you or forsake you. There's never a burden, there's never a trial, there's never a hard time that comes your way where God's going to sit there and go, whoa, that's too heavy for me. That's too much. Right? And I tell you what, you experience this in life where you try and you ask for help and you reach out to friends and they're just too busy and you don't get mad at them for it, you don't hate them for it, you understand everybody's got their stuff, but you reach out and they're just not there for you the way you want them to be. I've done that, I'm sure you have too, where you just inadvertently fail someone. We're not perfect. God is. And when he promises, I'm going to sit there with every single thing with you, that is what he means. And that is what he will do. You will not go through this alone. I'm not going to walk away from you. And you're always going to have me. We see, as Jesus said, his eyes are on the sparrow. He clothes the lilies of the fields. How much more do you think he loves you? How much more do you think he loves you? Now you think about this, you know, being a human being is complicated, right? I mean, we think about the gas prices. We think about food prices. We think about, okay, we got to structure our bills and do this and do that. And we've got to plan ahead of time for retirement. Some of you are in retirement, so you're budgeting. You're doing all this stuff. We are constantly thinking about the stuff of life. Last few weeks, we've had some geese in the back, and every morning there's some geese back there. Those geese don't think about a thing, and that drives me nuts. They don't. Why? Because when they need food, there it is. They know when to go south. They know when to go north. They know all of that. And they just go. Why? Because God cares for them. You think God don't care for you? Now, that doesn't mean live recklessly. Don't be crazy. Right? Be good stewards of what God has given you. But why worry? How am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? What will tomorrow hold? Don't worry about tomorrow. God's holding tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You do what you know you're supposed to do. Handle your responsibilities. Do the things that you're called to do. All right, make your bed. Take your medicine. Go for a walk. Do the regular things. Go grocery shopping. Give the gospel. Read your Bible. Pray. Live life. God will take care of it. Maybe not the way that you want it to be done, but God will take care of it. There will be supply there for you. God promised, we see that promise there that we'll never beg for bread. God's people will never have to worry or stress over things. He will provide. He will provide. Again, it may not go the way that we think that it should, but it will go the way that is best. It will go the way that is best. We see also in there that he will work all things together for good. That is a whole sermon in one thing, isn't it? He'll work all things How will he work them? He'll work them together. For what purpose? For good. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't like it. Doesn't mean it's not good. Well, I don't like how it over all things. Can we just leave this out and it still come to there? I don't know God's will. I don't know God seeing things that I don't, that I see, that he sees things that I don't. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. I'm selfish. I'm narrow-minded. I'm ignorant in a lot of stuff. There's just, I don't know what all was on there. You know what I mean? God, on the other hand, he sees all things and knows all things. He knows how it needs to go together. So who must we trust? My knowledge or his knowledge? I trust him. So all things must work together for good. We see that in every situation, God's control of it will always stay intact. And we often sit there, we say, well, how can God, how can we love a God who in this situation allowed this or that to happen? And what we must understand is the power, the impact, the decision in the Garden of Eden was. God warned Adam and Eve. If you partake of this fruit, you'll die. You'll die. Folks, we made that decision in the Garden of Eden. And if we want to whine about it being fair or not, that we didn't make that decision, let me tell you something about human beings. We all would have made that decision eventually. You can't sit for eternity with something like that sitting there and not do something. We all would have done it because that's what we are. We all would have done it. And if you need any proof, look at your life now. You know better and you still don't do it, right? Right? Okay, there we go. We're done. We made that decision. Earth is a place to say goodbye. It really is. You know, with grief, however, with loss, comes healing. Why? Because God is in control. God is in control. You know, there are certain things that you had to do with your kids and you had to explain with your kids certain hurts they had to go through in order to grow up and become the mature individual that they're supposed to be. God walks through those situations with you. And he gives comfort, right? He gives those things. Where again, why did this have to happen? Because, again, this is a world that has to say goodbye. This is a world deeply affected by sin. We have no choice but look to the healing. Look to what God does in response to it. Trials will come. But aren't you glad the trials don't just come, but they come to pass? They come, we survive them, we're stronger, we're better for them. And they come to pass. I love the illustration of Job. Not even the devil can take from the children of God what God does not allow. And God will not restore. God will not restore. In all things, God is in control. In all things, he has the ability to make better. And there's nothing that bests him. Nothing that does him. There's no amount of lions in that den that Daniel was in that could have bested God, that could have prevented God. You know, oh man, if it was 4 or 5 lions, surely I could have done something. But this is 12 lions, and I've never seen 12 lions before. So Daniel, you're on your own. That's not God. He said, oh no. God sent an angel down and closed the mouths of the lions. Now, I find it unique that the lions didn't go anywhere. The lions stayed. And I think, well, how fitting to our day and age, to our lifestyle, right? Where God tempers the problem. He dulls the problem, eases the problem. But he doesn't always take it away. Doesn't always take it away. You know, I love that. You know, sits there and says that the angel closed the mouths of the lion. But I tell you what, I'd have been sitting there staring at his paws the whole night, you know? I don't know how many lions were in there, but I've been staring at the paws going, I bet there's claws in those things. Look at that. You know what? We can't be foolish. You know, modern day Christianity, they say that God will just peaches and cream our whole life. That's not how it goes. Jesus, the Son of God himself, had to die on a cross. His pillow was a stone. He hungered. He thirsted. One particular point, because of our sin, God even turned his eyes on him. Oh, and folks, that's something God would never do to us. You understand that to be in this, to be in this sinful life is to suffer. But praise the Lord that He does not abandon us. Praise the Lord that He has the ability to shut the mouths of the lions in our lives. Give us healing where it is necessary. Give us solutions where they are needed. And stop the evil that would be done upon our lives. I am grateful that when I am in a lion's den, what's in there cannot consume me wholly. It is hard to remember at all times, because sometimes the lions are big. Sometimes the den is deep. Sometimes their claws are sharp. Sometimes they seem more hungry than we would want them. But whatever's in there cannot consume me, because my God would not allow it. And not only that, but aren't you glad that, you know, Daniel, yeah, there were lions in that den, but he was not alone in his den. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There was no den they could hide Daniel from God in. I want you to think about that for you. There is no den. This world, life, illness, loss, whatever, challenges could put you in that would keep you from God. That's a double-edged sword. There's no circumstance in which I could be removed from God. I must then ask myself, if I feel removed from God, what happened? What happened? Daniel came out of this thing because he did no wrong. He did no wrong. What was his crime? His crime was a closeness to God. Folks, we need a closeness to God, because we'll want to be close to Him in times of need and trial. We'll need Him. And we know that nothing can happen that would ever separate us from Him. We read that in the New Testament too, for those that need it in both Testaments, right? Neither height nor depth, principalities, no power, could remove us from God. We've looked at those verses quite recently. He is there. So often we struggle and we feel alone. We are not alone. Not in the strictest of sense. God knows where we are, sees where we are, cares for us, and loves us. We must turn to Him in times of sorrow and in times of struggle. We must turn to Him, because you better believe that He is there. He's there. And again, we look at that illustration of the times where Jesus calmed the storms, right? They woke Him up in the boat, and He came out, O ye of little faith, and He rebuked the wind and the waves, and they calmed. And that's what we want. Isn't that what we want? Lord, come on. Obviously, you're sleeping. Come on. And don't you see what's going on, Lord? Don't you care? Don't you understand what I'm fighting here? He does. He does. It's just so little to Him. Right? I'll solve that real quick for you. We want that. You know what else always comes to mind in that just kind of juxtaposes that a little bit? That time where He let them rock on the waves and He told Peter to step out. Sometimes He calms the storm. Sometimes he's just there for you during the storm. But he's always there. He's always there. Always going to care for you. Always going to love you. Will the waves be rough? Absolutely. This is life we're talking about. It's not for kids, right? It will be rough from time to time, but you will not be alone. There is another thing that God has given us to help us not to feel alone. And of course, we don't see that as an illustration here in Daniel, but I will worm that in. We have each other. We have each other. You want to know why I love the kind of church that we have? Because I've seen other churches where they get to 400 or 500, nobody knows each other. You'll be going through something most folks won't even know, most folks won't even care. Now, you get a church that's more of a family than they are numbers, and all of a sudden you stub your toe, someone's going to come over and make sure you're okay. You fall, someone's going to make sure they're there to help you get up. Right? And that's what we ought to be. We ought to love each other. The Bible commands that. We see in 1 Corinthians that we are what? We are one body. We're one body. If you as a thumb, you're hurting, guess what? Here comes the other hand. Hey, I got you. I'm here for you. Right? The whole body reacts. You ever hit your thumb or something with a hammer? You ever do anything like that? You ever pinch yourself? I was out here. I was mowing. I got stung by I think it was a yellow jacket is what it was. And if I was half thinking, I would have just kept going with the mower and driven my way out of there. But I didn't because I ain't got no sense. Right? I got stung in the head. The rest of my body was in for the fight. I was swatting at him like this. That's us. You hurt one, you get the whole body. One person's struggling, it affects all of us. All right, we've prayed for many people who've gone through surgeries. Many of you, you've gone through surgeries of yourself. It's just one part, but the whole body is affected, right? That's us. You got issues, we got issues. You've got cause to rejoice, we've got cause to rejoice. Why? Because that is what family is. That's what we are. Right? I love you, you love me, we care for each other. We invest in. I tell you what, I was kind of tickled and walked back here and I saw the dishes. Are those ready to go home? Is that what those are there for? Okay. Those dishes over there. And I'm like, okay, all right. You know what that was? Those are our dishes. Take them home. No, seriously, take them home. But what do we do? All right, well, somebody needs, all right, let's make some food. Let's make some food. All right, let's do this. It comes down to something simple as a get well soon card. It comes down to something as simple as a phone call to coming over and mowing a lawn and giving somebody a ride and praying for somebody daily. And it all comes down to these things we care and we love. Because otherwise, what else are we? You ever see a church that falls apart, not because of financial reasons, not because of doctrinal reasons, but because there's no love? Churches with no love are difficult to be a part of. We are commanded to work together as one body. We are commanded to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, and it even comes down to someone like me as the pastor. All right, I hear it from time to time, brother, I don't want to bother you. You voted for me. You're stuck. Right? If you're in a hole, I'm in a hole. That's it. If you're troubled, I'm troubled. If you're in the hospital, I'm there with you. It's important. I'm not perfect. I'm going to fail from time to time. I promise you that. That's a horrible promise to make. But you're in it, I'm in it. Oh, but brother, you're young, you got a family, you got this, you got that. You think the Lord's going to let me off on that? You might let me off, but the Lord won't let me off. Yeah, I'll tell you this, you know, there's moments in my life where I'm just kind of sitting there and I'm bothered about one of you. I'll stop and I'll pray and I've got no idea why. Lord, I don't know why they're so prominent in my heart right now. But Lord, whatever it is, be with them.
I love a church where you're not alone. I love a church where we hang around for just a little bit too long, right? So, some folks still, oh, Pastor, I'm sorry. We're on our way out. Don't bother. This is our place. This is our place to do exactly what you were doing, and that's talking. Right? Whether it's in the building, outside of the building, you get into a conversation where it was a quick goodbye, but it turns into a 20-minute long ordeal. Praise the Lord for that. It's better than being alone. It's better than going home and sitting in front of the television just being by yourself. Let's enjoy it. Let's be there for each other. Let's really turn into it. Because I tell you what, in times of trouble, in times of trial, it's great to have the Lord. It is good to have a church family. It's all a part of it. God gives us many things. Let's enjoy it. Let's be a part of it. We see this also, that in there, God will find a way for us to make it through. And we need to trust in Him. Turning to the teachings of Paul, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Knock me over, but you can't knock me out. You can slow me down, but you can't stop me. That's what we are. It's what we are. Right? You may black my eye and bloody my nose, but the fists stay up. And there'll be moments where I want to quit, moments where I don't think I can go any further, moments where I'm ready to throw in the towel, but God's going to keep me going. You understand? Right? Sorrow for the night, but what comes in the morning? Joy. Joy cometh in the morning. And folks, that is what we wait on. Daniel, he sat there in that lion's den all night. Now, I've heard preachers say that he slept. I've heard preachers say that he prayed. I've heard some preachers go all crazy with the illustration, saying he fluffed up the mane of the lion and made a little lion bed. I don't know. Doesn't say. But I will say this, that he sat there the whole night. He sat there the whole night. How long will the Lord hold the lion's jaws? Will I come out, or is it his will that I go home? Am I going to come out of this, but like a lion's going to get a bite? Are they going to realize that they've got claws? How long am I going to be here? Many of you, we've had that discussion. How long will I feel this? How long will I be in this position? He sat there the whole night. You know what came in the morning? Freedom. Now, we've talked about it so far in the sermon. Freedom comes in a lot of different ways. In his case, he got out. He got out. And not only did he get out, but he got out with his faith intact. Why? Because his faith was based on the Lord. He trusted in the Lord that whether it's for him to go home or for him to come out of the lion's den, he was getting out of there. Folks, in whatever situation you find yourself in, either right now or in the future, or even if you're looking for some consolation for things that were done in the past, you will come out of it. If you trust in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord. I think another way that we prove that we don't trust in the Lord is when we do have the ability to heal, we do have the ability to move on, we do have the ability to keep going, but we stay in the lion's den. We're called to come out, but we stay in. That's bitterness. That takes the shape of bitterness. You know what I'm talking about? I can't believe he did this to me. I can't believe he allowed this to happen. That is not what we want to do. That's not what we want to be a part of. When we're worked through it, when we're pushed through it, we need to go through it. Paul also said this. Remember back when he was in that storm and the boat was being beaten and all the sailors were panicking and freaking out. And he said, listen, I know a few things. One, the storm's going to break this boat apart. Two, as long as you stay with me, you're going to live. Because God told me to go here, and you better believe I'm going to be able to go there. Folks, if we've got promises in the Word of God that things will work out, healing will come, things will come to pass, you better believe it will, and you need to act like it. Doesn't matter how hard the boat's shaking you, doesn't matter what's going on with you, you better believe that God can work you through it. Don't fall into bitterness. Don't fall into doubt. Trust in Him. Verse 22 of Daniel chapter 6, back in our text, my God hath sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Stay innocent. Be innocent to begin with. Stay innocent through the process. How often do we take the things that have happened in our life and use them as an excuse to do wrong? Right? One of the lessons around our table is this, is there's no right time to do something wrong. There is no acceptable time to commit sin. Under no circumstances is the wrong thing the right thing to do. Be innocent. Daniel was innocent. He did nothing wrong. At least not in the eyes of those that were it mattered. Be innocent, right? Stay innocent in the eyes of God. Do not let bitterness, anger, wrath, opportunity to sin, do not let that change who you are. Continue on steadfast in that. I think I might have used this illustration, maybe, maybe not. Danielle and I got sucked into this ridiculous TV show of people that were doing crimes. And one guy, he got there, he decided that because he was so far behind on his rent, he was going to go robbed a cell phone store. And he's like, I wouldn't even be doing this, but I'm so far behind on my rent, I don't know what else to do. Turned out that him and the person he was robbing went to the same church. Oops. You know, it's like, and in one way it's kind of funny, and the other way it's not. If you're a child of God and you know better, and I don't know much about his salvation or what profession of faith he might have had, but I will tell you this, at no time is it okay for us to commit crime or do sin or whatever have you because we're going through something. That's not trusting in the Lord. That's not being innocent. Daniel stayed innocent. Now listen, God's deliverance is sure. God's ability to help us and protect us does not waver at any point in time. But I would admonish this at the end here, that you do not poke the lions. Don't poke the lions. Well, brother, what do you mean by poke the lions? Well, think about Job's wife. I just curse God and God. Curse God and die. No, that's not good advice. We ought to fight, you ought to do this. And I tell you what, if you're angry, you ought to go out there and fight. You got to really do something. No. If God's made promises, you rely on His promises. Because I'll tell you what, anger will ruin your rescue. Anger will ruin your rescue. One of the things that they teach those that are taught water rescue, and it kind of startled me when the guy was explaining this to me. He was trained in water rescue. One of the things that they do is sometimes they have to knock out the person that they rescue so that they don't drown the rescuer. I go, what? They're like, oh yeah, like you'll be drowning and you'll be panicking and you're, ah! And we'll have to come over and we just knock you out. I go, well, wait a minute. I go, what if it seems like I'm holding it together? Doesn't matter. We'll knock you out. Drag you away. Okay, sounds good. Don't let your anger ruin your rescue, right? There are so many wonderful things I like to do with my kids. You know what makes it easier? When I don't have to stop and turn around and correct them. Remember that with your kids? You're at the park and they're throwing rocks at each other. Stop it, stop it. Just have fun. Why can't you have fun? We came here to have fun. Now tell you, you're going to go out there and you're going to have fun. Parenting makes you crazy, don't it? Danielle made this wonderful observation last night. She goes, I'm really, because she, about how much the kids are like me and how much of them are like her. And she goes, yeah, and she called out one of them that she goes, they act just like you. And I go, yeah. She goes, now I'm starting to understand your mom. I go, oh, yeah, we did that to her. We did that to her. We did it. I tell you what, she earned that. We put her through it good. But the point of the matter is this. Don't be somebody that needs to be corrected when things go sideways. Be a part of the solution as much as you can.
no matter what it is that's happening. Don't let sin prevent your rescue to where, again, I need that correction. And I'd also say this, and we'll close on this. Don't let despair distract you from your rescue. Because again, when we cloister into ourselves and we sit with the lights off and the windows closed, the shades drawn, we shut ourselves in. What rescue could happen when we burrow deeper into the den? Go towards the light. Find where the Lord is. Find out what the Lord's will is in things. What is it that God expects from me right now? And participate in those things. Well, brother, it's going to be hard. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm here for it. Brother, that's going to be difficult. Yeah. And your church family's here for it. Well, brother, I'm not going to be able to do it right. Yeah. And God's there for those. To give you strength. To give you mercy and grace. In His Word is filled with the instruction on how to do it. If you crawl, if you walk, if you limp, doesn't matter. He's there for you. And again, if any of us were tasked to live perfectly, we'd fail. We'd fail. But I would rather participate through my sorrow, participate through my frustration, through whatever trial's going on. I'd rather participate in the solution than sit there and become more of a victim than I was before. Like a nuclear bomb. Devastating. Devastating. But even if you survive the initial impact, there's the after effects, isn't there? Don't get lost in the after effects. Because when the bomb goes off and the dust settles, don't die afterwards. Start to heal. Participate in things that lead to growth. That lead to a closeness to God. I'm not talking about putting on a mask. I'm not talking about pretending. I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about putting some balm on there. Right? And folks, we've gone through that so often. And we've hurt in so many ways. But don't we understand that God has a plan to get us out of these dens? Don't you understand that God has the ability to pull us out of those dens? If we trust in Him and we rely on Him, we acknowledge His presence and His expectations of us, we'll get through it. We'll get through it. And not just that, but when we're not going through it, when we're outside of the lion's den, let us be the ones that are doing everything with our hearts and minds on them. You know, I think the king was kind of useless here, but look at his language. Look at his language. He worked all that time. All day to try to save Daniel from this den. Finally, they came to him, well, you know what the law is, and you're stuck. And he sat there and he said, oh, you're God. Your God encouraged him. Your God can save you from this. Let's be the ones grabbing hold of each other. God will save you from this. God will protect you. God will deliver you. God will help you. No matter what this storm looks like, be it He calms it, be it He walks with you through it, it doesn't matter. God will be there for you. We encourage each other. We pray for each other. I don't think the king prayed, but I tell you what, if you're going to be up all night over somebody else's situation, you better be talking to God about it. You better be. And he rushed up early in the morning. Daniel, you okay? You good? Let's care for each other that way. It's okay to skip breakfast for each other every now and then. Hey, how's it going? We've got so much technology, we don't even need to do that anymore, do we? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Let's care that way. So whether you're in the den or you're not, let's be looking towards the Lord in these situations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this morning. Father, grateful for your love and your protection over us, your care of us. Lord, please, be with us during these times like we know you will be. Help us, Lord, to feel your presence. Help us, Lord, to remember your words, not just the encouragements, but the commands, so that, Father, when we find ourselves in these dens, we will be found innocent, and that, Lord, we will be delivered out as we know that you will. Help us, Lord. Be with us as we go about our ways this afternoon. Help us to come back safely this evening. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Page 153.